We're on number 8 of the 48 ways. Number 8 of the 48 ways is besimcha, with joy. Everybody's aware that joy is power. You come in with joy. You want to be a salesman. You have joy. You're going to sell every customer that comes through. They're just going to walk over to you and say, "What can I buy?" You'll take care of every complaint that comes your way, turning the guy around. He'll be flattered. He'll feel great. And he'll forget that he had a complaint. You get up at bat, you're full of joy, you'll knock the ball right out of the park. When we have joy, we have power. All right, now the question is, what is joy? It's a pleasure. It brings you up alert. You dance, you jump up and down. When you have joy, you can't sit still. It just energizes you. Now, to focus your attention as to the problem in joy and where it comes from and what does and what doesn't, so I focus your attention. Anybody hear about the Philadelphians, the Philadelphia Flyers winning the Stanley Cup? The whole city went out celebrating, tooting the horns, dancing in the streets. We won the Stanley Cup. Philadelphia didn't win much for a long time. We're the champions! Yeah. And then later on at night, it got a little out of hand. They broke lampposts, they broke the bulbs, they started overturning cars, That didn't sound like joy. What happened? Now, what were they enjoying? Lately, we read in the newspapers, I don't know if anybody read, that Italy's win of the World Cup in soccer had such a euphoric effect on the Italians that the Italian government figured they had a few more months in power. You get that? Italians were great. Well, we won the World Cup. Now, so what if inflation is 15%? So what if there's no jobs? What are they so joyful about? What's up with that? You know who we Italians are? You know who we Philadelphians are? What are we? In Philadelphia, they all hired, all the whole hockey team was Canadians that were hired by Canadian coach, with Philadelphian money that was raised in Philadelphia to make more money. But all Philadelphians felt they were the Stanley Cup winners. All the Italians felt were the champions of the world. Do you see that there's an energy there? After all, they danced all night. There's something that's a letdown. You don't turn over cars except that something's wrong, right? There is a euphoria. And there is some identification that they're better people because of it. What's going on? Are we capable of this? Is this what joy is really about? Anybody been at a New Year's Eve party? You been there, Peter? Well, blow them away. Everybody happy! Right, let's go! Yeah, whoa! Blue! Yeah? Do you know that at the end of the New Year's Eve parties is the one night of the year that has the highest incidence of suicide. Right? What's going on? Did they have joy or didn't they have joy? Do you get it? Is that what joy leads to? Nah, that's not what joy leads to. Then what's going on? All right, that's the problem. That's the focus. How do we use it? It's an energy. We know if we had it, we can do an awful lot. Can we have it? Is it real? Does it disappear? What's going on? So, let's go through it. How do we have joy? Number one of how do we have joy is, the idea is to use this power. Master it like bicycling. That's what the idea is. It's a tool. Saying that it's a tool means that just like you can learn how to bicycle, you can use joy. Which means that joy is an obligation, not a happening. If it's a power, it's your obligation to use your powers for yourself, for your parents, for your friends, for society, for living. Bicycle riding, you don't feel like doing it, no big deal. But joy, if you can give your children joyful children, if you can give your employees a joyful boss, if you can give your boss a joyful employee, give it then. It's your obligation. You're coming from a society that looks at joy as a happening. If certain stars find the right configuration and you get your PhD, you find the right girl, you win a lottery, whatever it is, then you will have a moment of joy. You're waiting for a happening. In Judaism, we say, Irdu es Hashem b'simcha. Serve the Almighty with joy. He doesn't want no glum-faced people around. You don't want them. It's our obligation. All right, so number two is, in order to see how do we do it, first let's notice where it happens. You know, quotation mark, happens. When did you ever have joy? Did you ever dance with joy? Anybody here ever dance with joy? You ever hit a home run? Anybody here hit a home run? Yeah? You remember you jumped up and down, right? Wow! Yeah? Remember getting out of school when you were in elementary school? Last day of school? Whoa! Yeah? Fantastic. You ever get a bicycle? Your first car? Anybody else? Come on, what? John? That's you. This guy is an artist. There's a joy in realization. There's a joy in a perception. Now he's talking about heavy stuff. A moment of clarity. That's a joy. I got it. Then take where you've seen other people have joy. Where did you ever see somebody have joy? If they dismissed you from a hospital with a clean bill after cancer, you'd have joy? You remember 67 here in Israel? What joy! You know that there's times of joy. Put it all down so that you get the feel. What are these joys? What is it that you felt? What is it that people felt? What is it that that happened? Then you have a bit something to study. Now you understand what it's about. At least you have the material to understand. So number three is, after you make this list, make the effort to differentiate between delusion, illusion, hysteria, pleasure, the real uplifting, heavy stuff. You see, the Stanley Cup, they won. The Flyers won. So every one of the Philadelphians felt now he's going to go to New York and he's going to say he's from Philadelphia and everybody's going to bow low. They're going to bow low and they say, oh, the Superman have come. Huh? This is a delusion. What's an illusion? An illusion is you won $1 million and now you say, I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing the rest of my life. That's an illusion. It's not a delusion. Now you don't have to work anymore, now nothing, no problems. You remember when you got your first car? No more problems. Oh, you guys, you know already that you can have a car and be thoroughly miserable, huh? But you ask an Israeli, you get me a car, that's it! That's it, I won't have a sad moment the rest of my life. For the moment, I mean, it's something, but it's an illusion, it's not going to last, yeah? All right, so what's just hysteria? Everybody happy? That's hysteria, you know? That's not a delusion, it's not an illusion. It's just woke up the emotions. What do they anticipate? That's the clue. What do they anticipate? They're anticipating all kinds of pleasures, right? What are real? What are delusions? What is heavy? What is just nice little bit of anticipation? We're going fishing today. Isn't that great? You don't think that it's going to change your life. Maybe. Who knows, but it's an illusion. And what is a real pleasure? When I was a young man, if they wanted to show someone who was euphoric in joy in a movie, so they would show a guy being told that he had a son. He'd dance up and down, he'd run down the street, sticking cigars into horses' mouths, into the policeman who was chasing him, you understand, into old ladies. Bonnets, you know, he was giving everybody a cigar. He was just delirious with joy. Today, if they want to show a guy who's really wiped out, and the doctor tells him, you have a son, he sits down and he goes, oh. So, in a different society. Right? What do you think happens when you have a son? Problems feeding at night? Or what? Pleasure, purpose of living, immortality? It's according to what you anticipate. What are you looking at, right? And it's according to that is the heaviness, the reality, the delusion, the illusion, the hysteria. Sort it out. Number four is now we can appreciate and extract. The common denominator of joy is anticipating that their great pleasures will be coming your way. We're going to the circus. Hurrah, hurrah. We're going to have a grand time. That's the common denominator of joy. of the feeling, of the excitement, of anticipation. All right, so number five is that the first real step in living and using joy is live with joy in general. Anticipate your pleasures. Is it good to be alive? You're going to have a nice day today? Wake up in the morning, say, thank God I'm alive, and anticipate, I'm going to go touring today, I'm going to learn wisdom. I mean, you're doing something for pleasure. Anticipate getting it. Don't anticipate being disappointed. You're going to the museum. I mean, if you're bored stiff, leave. But you anticipate pleasure. Anticipate. You don't run. Okay, so what do you think? Now, everybody in the class is going to know who I am. Everybody will want to be my friend. That's your anticipation. Wow. Yeah. All right, so you win $1 million. What's your pleasure? Boy, now I don't have to go to work. I'm going to go to my job and say, who needs your measly? Right? So we anticipate all this freedom, all this ability of doing what we want. Okay, so the idea is use this for living. You're starting a day today. What do you anticipate? Anticipate you're going to the circus. Sarah. Okay? I'm going fishing. It'll be great. Beautiful day. Start with excitement. Use joy as your energizer. What are you going to give up before you start?
What pleasures?
We're going to have a grand time today. Everybody, are we going to have a grand time today?
Yeah.
Isn't that good? You feel the excitement, though. Just saying it, just anticipating, it will be grand. Do you see that? That's the way to live.
There's a special sort of joy coming out of almost
The question is asked whether if you anticipate joy, then you can't get the joy when it comes because you're anticipating it. My friend, if you anticipate hitting a home run, you anticipate, I'm getting up at bat, boy, and I can see the knack and the bat, the ball is going, this is it, you know? You're energized, right? Now you swing and the ball goes, oh, wow! You're not going to say, huh, I knew it. It'll be there.
Yeah, I said.
If you anticipate, you have the energy of the joy all the time. And I'm telling you that when you anticipate a beautiful sunset, a beautiful sight, you're more liable to see a beautiful sunset and a beautiful sight, and the joy of it will be the same. It might not be a shock, but it'll be just as galvanizing, just as exciting, just as real. Yeah. At any rate, what is it that you can anticipate every day of your life? All right, you're touring, you should anticipate joy now. Number six is, what is there to anticipate every day of your life? When you have to go to work, when you have to go to college, when you have to take a final, What joy can you anticipate today? You wouldn't mind taking a final. I don't know if you can concentrate on it, but you wouldn't mind taking a final if you were able to walk for the first time in your life. You'd run there. Yeah? You have your hands, you have your feet, you can see the scenery while you're going down to study. You're using your mind. Take the pleasures that your mind, you know, you can remember things. Yeah? Did you ever get stuck, you can't remember a thing, and then you start remembering things? Is it a pleasure? So anticipate the pleasures that you have, to enjoy them and to energize yourself for living. All right, number seven is, at least and the most is joy in life. You're alive. Is it good to be alive? What's the pleasure of being alive? Do you know when you felt the pleasure of being alive? How many guys were on a roller coaster? You were. Were you ever on a roller coaster? Yeah? You felt the pleasure of being alive. It's thrilling. It's good to be alive. You can walk off the roller coaster. Yeah? You might be a little. What?
Might be more afraid that you're going to die.
Yeah, but you get the pleasure is that you're alive. That's why you have pleasure being alive, because for a moment you're really afraid. Not really, but almost really afraid that you're going to die. So it's great to be alive. You get it? When you have a close brush with death, and you walk out, anybody been in an accident where he thought that he was going to be polished off, right? Wow, it's great to be alive. You got to learn the the pleasure of just being. Then you have the basis. Then you can be more and more and more and more. Otherwise, it's just a sensation. It's just a dream, an illusion. What will it give you? What will a car give you? What will $1 million give you? What will it give you? More life? What will it give you? A way of running away from life? That I can dream and can be comfortable, snug as a bug in a rug? Either life itself is good or you got nothing. You've got to learn to take this simple joy in life. So ride the roller coaster. Get yourself into that joy of just being alive. Number eight is, the rabbis teach that this joy of being alive, it's natural. Children have it. Look at a child. Yeah, you can cry, you stepped on a shadow, you can cry because he's hungry, you can cry because somebody hurt him. But leave him a while, they're all bubbling. They're full of life. If he's a natural, I mean, if he isn't a poor, deprived kid who's really suffering. The rabbis say that we learn to be miserable. We learn to turn it off. It's a learned habit. It's not natural to us not to be joyful. Joy is our natural condition. The Och HaSadikim says that joy dwells in a man's heart when he does not focus on troubles. The natural condition is joy. But if you get rid of these bad focuses, your natural condition is joy. The roller coaster wipes out your other worries, yeah? The stock market, everything is wiped out. Your natural condition is joy. Okay, so number nine is that the idea here is to use joy in whatever you do. Doesn't matter, you're talking to people who make a sale, you're talking to people just because you want conversation, you're talking to people. You see, when you have joy, you're not afraid to talk to the guy sitting next to you on the plane or on the bus, do you? When you have joy, you got an energy, a buoyancy. You want $1 million, you talk to a stranger. You say, hey, how are you today? You walk down the street, and hello, give everybody a kiss. When you have joy, you can do anything. So when you talk, when you go touring, when you're working, when you're studying, first put yourself into joy. When you have joy, you can study a heck of a lot better. Stronger, faster, accomplished. Number 10 is that especially use this joy in dealing with problems. Don't suffer your problems, solve them. Don't suffer the nagging parents, the whining children, the insufferable boss, the lazy employees, the unreasonable professors. Your children are misbehaving. Don't get into, oh, my poor lot. That's just suffering the problem. Hey, the roller coaster? That's great to be alive. What's bothering you, kids? When you have joy, you are a problem solver, not a problem sufferer. You know, anybody who's been a little bit in business, the same customer comes in to complain. If you're miserable, he walks out with a lawsuit. Yeah? Walking up and down with a picket sign in front of your store. He just came in for a complaint. He didn't even want his money back. But boy, you succeeded. You were miserable. You made him miserable. He's out to get you. You're full of joy. All right. You got a problem? Fine. We want to solve it. How you feeling? A good day? You want to buy something else? Is it that bad? Solved. Goes home with his thing. And he takes something new with him. Number 11 is that the way just before this is ba'anava, with humility, which means that be objective about problems, then you have joy in life. We told you to deal with humility, it's somebody else's problem. It's your body, not your soul. Somebody else's problem. But if a person has humility, then he's not distracted by the suffering of problems, then he naturally has joy. Life is beautiful, so what? If your children are crying, they're alive. That's a good sign that they're alive, yeah? They're kicking, right? But that's if you can have humility. That's one of the 48 ways. That's why humility leads into joy. It's the one just before this. Because humility makes your problems objective puzzles, not subjective suffering. Number 12 is that the rabbis say, Ivdu es Hashem besimcha, is a sentence in the Bible, serve the Almighty with joy. So the meaning of that is that serving God is joy. Mm-hmm. You guys think I'm religious, etc. We all focus on the fact that the ultimate joy is the ultimate meaning. Being with a cause, with the ultimate meaning, the ultimate result. What do you think? You hit the home run, you got more meaning, you're more. You got $100 million, you're more. You can do what you like, you can accomplish. You have a child, you're elected president, you're more. Eternal, you're heavy. Do the will of God, you're heavy. You're into eternity. But in lieu of realizing this or knowing it, then what can you do about it? Get a cause. A cause is a real source of the heavy, uplifting joy. 67, the Jewish people, they thought that everything would be different. But wow, after 2,000 years, we're back here to the wall. Whoa. There's nothing you can have like that. Find your cause, whatever it is. Work at it. When you have real accomplishments, the real pleasures of living, the heavy ones, and you know it will continue, that's the real power of joy. Number 13 is that Jewish consciousness was that Torah is the biggest joy. Why? Because learn about life is joy, it's meaning. That if you get to the essence of meaning, that's yours for the rest of your life. You can turn it on in the face of all kind of adversity. It's the joy of existence, of meaning, of the cause of being. So Jewish consciousness was that learned Torah should be the greatest joy because it is this essence of all joy. Number 14 is, use this consciously. See the power for living, the opening, the anticipation that a piece of wisdom can give you. So for example, people who will win $100 million in a lottery, if there was a lottery for $100 million, will jump with joy. What is that anticipation? I travel around the world, I'll be important, I can do what I want. Now I'm free, no more worries. I'm a master of my fate. $100 million, I can do whatever I like. Yeah? Now where's the illusion? He doesn't know what he wants. He doesn't know how to do it. So after a year, you'll find him back in medical school. The $100 million medical school student. Yeah, why? Figures maybe medicine will interest me. Not in medical school, then maybe he'll be dabbling in engineering, law, in a yeshiva. That would be smart. How do you do what you want? First, 148 ways is know what you want. Know yourself. Now you can do what you want, even if you don't have $100 million. You can do what you want today. Can you see that what an opening this would be for living? If it's happiness, anticipate. If I was happy the rest of my life, if it's accept pain, if I was tough, disciplined, what power would give me? All right, you got to test it out. But it's better than winning $100 million. Number 15 is track down all the joys that people have. Why do people have joy in 67? Reuniting of Jerusalem, in the Flyers winning the Stanley Cup, and winning $1 million, and hitting a home run, and getting out of school. What is their anticipated pleasure when they get a car? They're independent. Now they're independent. It's an illusion, right? You know you want to be independent. He's the same as you. You're the same as him. Sure, you're going to college, etc., but you want to do what you want to do. You want to do what you would do if you had $100 million. All right, find out. What do you want to do? Get the thrill of tracking it down. Maybe you can do it now. At least you can make plans to get it done. You want people to love you? Is that why you're thrilled by hitting a home run? All right, find out how to get people to admire you. I don't know if it's worthwhile. Why do you want people to admire you? Then you will feel like a great man. Oh, so you really want to be a great man? Find out. What is a great man? How do you do it? There's something there that's driving you. Track it down. Figure out, through wisdom, how do you get it? Because wisdom is really the power of it. Number 16 is that all problems, sticky situations, grab the joy of living. Even if you're not going to solve them, at least they'll roll off your back. You're frustrated. The guy is a landlord that you can't deal with and you can't figure out a way. You can't. You can't figure out a way, right? But why suffer? Roller coaster. I'm alive. Okay. Walk away from it. Don't allow yourself to walk away from a problem down, miserable, and go and contaminate everybody else with it. You follow? Don't bring your problems home to your wife, to your children, to your friends. Yeah? Just wipe it out. Really, you should put it into joy and deal with the problem. Solve it. Don't suffer your problem. Solve it. That's one of the things that we said, right? But if you haven't learned to do that, at the very least, don't walk around with it. I'm miserable today. Who am I going to get? Who do I spread this germ of misery to? Let's make a real circle of contamination.
Yeah. What if it's a personal tragedy?
So I say, you see, and the question is, God forbid somebody has a tragedy. Now, it's hard for me to convince. I mean, your fellows are new. You look in. I mean, it's just a Jewish consciousness item. It's a halakha. It's instructions for living. But I'm telling you, you know that the instructions for living, you know what sensible is. Don't let tragedy depress you. Even such tragedy. What are you talking about? Getting wiped out in business, bankruptcy. That you know. Don't let it depress you. You're still alive. But even tragedy, like, God forbid, losing your own, an only child. The amazing people. Yeah? Tragic. Take the roller coaster. You say Kaddish, which is that affirmation of the joy of life. It's Kadalvi, it's Kaddash, Mei Rabo. Yomo Divro Chirusei. That is that affirmation that life is gorgeous, is beautiful, is fantastic, because you're not supposed to jump into the grave after. The Romeo-Juliet act, not Jewish. Huh? That's not the way. Life is beautiful. Come on. Affirm life. That's the way to serve your loved one. That's the only meaning to death, is to defy it, to understand the meaning of life. That's what death does for us. That's what the roller coaster does for us. Defines the meaning of life. Focuses you into it. All right, number 17, the last one of the how is, number 17 is that we say constantly in our prayers, in the Jewish prayers, Ki Hem Chayenu V'Yoruch Yomeinu. They are our life, the length of our days. The joy of life is wisdom, is Torah, is the instructions for living, and it means any Torah, but you got to know how to use it. In Judaism, we say there is a natural joy. There is a natural joy in acquiring wisdom, even if you don't know how to apply it. But you'll find many fellows in a yeshiva, and maybe you'll be one of them, when you start cracking the Talmud, and after you've learned the 48 ways and you're here, that you get the feeling of, oh, this is hard work. There are fellows, you know, and now instructions for living, there's a day of mourning, Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to learn any Torah. Because Torah is joy. So there are many young fellows in the yeshivas and the yeshiva high schools that say to their teachers all over the world, I can learn Gemara, I can learn Talmud. It depresses me. Yeah. So the question, what do you mean? It says that you're not allowed. You're not allowed because it's joyful. But I feel depressed. I feel down. Yeah. So the rabbis give you the answer. And that's why I think it's very important to finish up with this point. The rabbis give the answer. They say that he who learns wisdom has a natural joy like a human being who has a child. A human being has a child means it's meaningful. You've broadened your existence. Wisdom is like having a child. But the rabbis say he who learns Torah and forgets it is like a man who has children and buries them. Can't survive. So if you want to get the natural joy of wisdom, don't forget it. The 48 ways will give you thrills the rest of your life, whichever ones you learn about. But review it. Memorize it. Hold it. You don't even have to use it. But review it. Know it. Keep it in front of you. Because otherwise, the rest of your life you play, I had that feeling of meaning. There was this concept of joy. Now, if that doesn't work, if I was convinced and I don't have joy, then what's the use of living? Where am I going to ever get it again? I met the experience that promised everything, and it didn't work. What's going to work? When is it going to come up again? If you don't remember wisdom and you don't remember what you learned, it's going to plague you the rest of your life. You say, so what's the use of learning wisdom? It's better to be plagued than to be a zombie. You hear that? At least you know that there's something available if you ever make the decision. But much better is use your wisdom. Remember, study it, keep it with you. Then it will increase your joy the rest of your life. Okay, now why do we need joy? Why do we need joy? So look, it's power. It's power to do. Joy makes you strong. Anything else. Your memory is better. Your drive on the golf course is better. Your sales pitch is better. Everything is better. But particularly, it's power to do what you're doing. Did anybody here, do you have trouble getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning? Trouble, yeah? How about coming to Israel? I had to catch a plane. I go, hey, energize. What do you mean? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you talking about? 4 o'clock in the morning. We're late. Let's go. Joy. Anything you do, no problem. No problem. When you anticipate getting the pleasure out of it. So it's a particular power to do the things that you want to do. Number two is that, look, you can't play the game well unless you have joy in playing the game. You see, you're playing baseball, football, unless you have joy in the pass and the catch. Yeah, good catch. You can't play it well. You just play by rote, you know. You can't play it well. You have joy. It just sort of gets you to make the real pitch, right? If you take pleasure in the game, you play a different ball game. But particularly in wisdom, number three is that if you have joy and wisdom, you'll retain it. See, if you come across a guy who picks up a stone, you know that stone is a diamond. Yeah? If he takes the stone and he does a little jig, you know where the stone is going to wind up? If he has joy, that means that he appreciates it's a diamond. He does a jig, he dances down the street, you know it's going to wake up at a jeweler, and he's going to get his money's worth, right? If he takes a look at it and puts it in his pocket, yeah? You know where it's going to wind up? The kids are going to play marbles with it. It's going to wind up in the trash heap. Is that true? Yeah? If you take a piece of wisdom, you know where it's going to wind up? Take a piece of wisdom, you say, power. You know where it's going to wind up? It'll be used. Okay. Just one more. Number four is that the Torah says, Tachas asher lo yavarta es Hashem Elokeichem besimcha. The Torah says, because you did not serve God with joy, and it promises a lot of trouble. And the rabbis point out that, look, my friend, you can do everything right. You can be a tzaddik. You can help humanity. You can serve your parents. You can do every obligation under the sun. If you don't have joy in life, the Almighty is going to wreck you. You know why? Because the point of living is our pleasure. If you take home to your kids, you take them home some healthy food, you take them home some homework, and they don't want to do it, but you know they'll grow from it, right? So you force them to do it. You take them home a game, Pac-Man, and they don't want to do it. You take them home an ice cream cone, and they say, I don't feel like eating it. You know what you do? You take it away. I mean, the whole point is, enjoy yourself. You don't enjoy life?
You don't enjoy your hands and your feet? You don't think it's a beautiful world? You sure you're not enjoying it?
Well, just take it away.
Serving the Almighty is your pleasure, friend. You don't understand that. What do you think you're doing for him? You're serving the wrong God.
Now just take it away.
Watch out. All right, Lemaisa, what can we do about this? So I say, make a list of the joys the people that have. You know that people would have joy. If you won $1 million, you hit a home run. And you see people getting elected president of the United States. If you elected president, people who elected president or senator have joy. Yeah? Make a list of these things. Take out 5 interesting ones for yourself that are more to your point, right? And ask yourself, what is the anticipation? Why do they anticipate that this will give them pleasure? What is the reality of the pleasure? Remember, the guy in Israel who gets a car, he thinks he's never going to be miserable the rest of his life. Why? Because it's so important to have wheels. Why? Because then you can go whenever you feel like it. You don't have to wait for no buses. You can get anywhere. It's power. You can get anywhere. Anywhere you want to go. Is that it? Or it's independence. What does it mean to you? Then figure out how to get it. And you know that you have a secret of living. Go out and find out how to get it. In the Wisdom School. Thank you.
You have been listening to Voices from Jerusalem. For a complete listing of our cassettes, see our web store at aish.com. For a free cassette catalog, email us at voices@aish.com or call toll-free in the U.S. 1-800-VOICES-3. Our main office is at 1 Western Wall Plaza, Jerusalem, Israel. Shalom from Jerusalem.